You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. The November ballot can be overwhelming, from local, state, congressional candidates to propositions, not to mention city and county measures. It is a lot to sort through. CAP Radio has a dedicated team that has created a comprehensive Sacramento voter guide. Nick Miller is the managing editor of news and information and joins us with a breakdown. Good morning, Nick.
Hey, Vicky.
So this isn't the first voter guide that CAP Radio has done. I mean, it's always so clean, organized, and concise. I mean, talk to us about the decision-making to make that happen, because it's easier said than done.
Well, shout out to the team who leads that, and specifically Chris Hagan, who's our lead editor of our digital team, and Chris Hooks, who helps run our local coverage for Sacramento. I mean, the guiding principle for this voter guide is, I mean, you can go to the LA Times, you can go to Politico, you can go to the Chronicle, you can get a voter guide. There are a lot of voter guides out there, but we wanted one that serves our Sacramento communities, that focuses deep on Sacramento issues, all those city council races, board of supervisor races, local races for the California legislature, all the ballot measures like Measure O, the homelessness ballot measure, Elk Grove voting on a new tax. Those things are complicated. There's not a lot of information out there on the internets about these things. So we wanted to create a one-stop shop so people in our communities could go to capradio.org and go a little deeper and a little bit more as their ballots show up, which turns out, Vicky, I get a little preview of my mail in my email inbox every day, and my ballot is here today. So I think a lot of Sacramentans are going to go check the mail today, and they're going to find their ballot.
I got a text message saying at least it's on its way. So
exciting,
which is nice. We are very much in it, and you know, admittedly, I am one of those people that even though I have my ballot and the information for the general election, I haven't necessarily perused it yet. But you guys got the head start and are making it easier for people, you know, just to shuffle with everyday life.
Yeah, and you know, I'm the type of voter where I like to kind of, I don't even open the ballot right away. I like to think about it, process what's going on. And so going to capradio.org, even for me, is a great resource. You know, I'm not actively reporting on all these election issues anymore. I'm not retired from by reporting by any means, but I'm, you know, we have so many talented journalists on our staff who are out there covering the city council races, all the ballot measures, that I learn from them.
Yeah.
So I really take advantage of this as a resource as well. And again, it's live on capradio.org today, our new voter guide.
Yeah, you and I both. Yeah, it's a wonderful resource. You guys really go into the nitty gritty with this voter guide. So let's just get some broad themes. I mean, city council races, there's three. What stands out to you about this general election and how this can shape the city of Sacramento?
The thing that stands out to me the most is that we're actually voting on competitive city council races in November. And what I mean by that is usually these council races are decided in the primary, because if a candidate gets 50% plus one vote, so a majority in the primary, which in this case was in June, we don't vote on city council races in November. So the fact that there are three of the four possible ones is exciting. It's going to change the tenor of and the balance of who represents us at City Hall. And I mean, specifically, if you live in the community of Natomas, if you live in the community of North Sacramento, if you live in Oak Park, Hollywood Park, South Sacramento, North and South City Farms, you're going to be voting on who represents you at City Hall for the next 4 years. So these are significant and consequential elections that are going to happen in 4 weeks.
Yeah, and these are all new names, right? So for these three districts, and what also stands out is a lot of them are women that are running for local races for city council.
It is. You know, it wasn't long ago where city council, you know, there are nine people, including the mayor at City Hall, representing our communities on city council. And there was one woman, right? Angelique Ashby. So now in Natomas, you get to choose between two women, Lisa Kaplan, who's a longstanding school board member, and Alyssa Lozano, who's the Chamber of Commerce representative in Natomas. You know, Lisa was, I think, almost won it in June, had 49% of the votes, but it's going to be a really close race. In District 3, which represents parts of North Sacramento, you have Michael Lynch. He has a background in the Capitol. He's operated nonprofits that help you know, residents of color and Black residents graduate high school and get to college. And he's going up against Karina Talamantes, who's been on the Sacramento County Office of Education Board and was also Angelique Ashby's chief of staff. And you have, you know, in Oak Park, Tomiko Heim, who's worked at City Hall on the Active Transportation Committee. And then you have Katie Maple, who's worked in the cannabis industry, also launched a nonprofit helping out with homelessness issues. So potentially you could have three women, and then you'd have a majority of women on the city council, which has I'm going to fact check myself in real time here. I don't think that's ever happened in my time covering City Hall since the 90s.
Yeah, I don't think so either. I mean, going back even decades, Sacramento County Supervisors, Don Natoli, he's been a supervisor, I believe, in District 5 since 1994. That's almost 30 years.
Yeah.
He's not seeking re-election. So
he
this is a big change for Sac County. Who's running?
Yeah, so if you live in Elk Grove, if you live in the southernmost parts of the county, there's Pat Hume, a longstanding Elk Grove City Council member, and Jacqueline Moreno, who's on a consumers board. That is going to decide the balance of the Board of Supervisors. And the Board of Supervisors is a five-body elected board, which includes Phil Cerna representing Sacramento, Patrick Kennedy representing parts of South Sacramento, right? They make decisions on all sorts of things. Like, people are really concerned about homelessness, right, Vicky? Well, most of that money to spend on homelessness solutions isn't actually in the coffers of City Hall. It's in the coffers of the county. So this District 5 race that represents, again, parts of South Sacramento, Elk Grove, between Jacqueline Moreno and Pat Hume, could decide how we approach homelessness solutions in the region writ large.
Yeah. I mean, in addition to statewide propositions, there are 14 different measures locally in Sacramento. That is so much to sort through. I mean, what measures stand out to you? What's the bigger message with these local measures in the city and county?
So there's one that I want to talk to you about today because I think it's the highest profile measure, and that's Measure O. And it's the City of Sacramento measure. And I want to get this right because it's deeply complicated. So, and I'm going to rely on our colleague, Chris Nichols. He's our housing and homelessness reporter. It's the Emergency Shelter and Enforcement Act of 2022. And it would ban homeless encampments of four or more unrelated people on public property in the City of Sacramento. So we all know, you know, you get off the freeway and you see people camping, and you just see these encampments all over the region, not just downtown, not just in the central city. So this is a ballot measure that aspires to address that. It's deeply contentious, right? There are some conditions for Measure O. Like, first, the city would have to offer an available shelter space or allow an unhoused person to voluntarily move from the public property. If a unhoused person rejects that offer or refuses to move, they could face a misdemeanor charge. The measure would also try to address the housing shortage and homeless shelter shortage by requiring the city manager to authorize new shelter spaces. So it's an attempt to pressure the city and the county to enact more enforcement to mitigate the number of encampments in the city. Of course, people who oppose this measure.
And it was actually tried. It was challenged in court.
Oh, it's been challenged in court. It's been pushed back on, tried to keep it off the ballot. And, you know, the opponents right now are just saying this is an out of sight, out of mind policy. This will not address the root causes of homelessness or the unhoused community. It will criminalize homeless individuals. There's also people who say, look, we can't afford this solution. And, you know, there's some overtures at City Hall that even if this passes, it'll have no teeth because there isn't that synergy between the city and the county to actually follow through with any of the enforcement measures and strategies as written out in Measure O. So that's the one I'm keeping an eye on.
Yeah, I know that the voter guide is really honed in on Sacramento City and County, but I mean, you're also a voter and you can't really turn on the TV without being inundated with all these political ads in support or against statewide propositions. What stands out to you? For me, it's Props 26 and 27.
Which involves
gaming.
Yeah. And I'm on the Sacramento Press Club board, which is a nonprofit that covers and represents journalists. We had a debate on Prop 26, 27. And I'm going to do the 30-second what those two ballot measures are, because they're exceptionally complicated and complex. And there's a lot of misinformation.
It's hard to whittle down in like 30
seconds.
Anytime
you go on Instagram, there's an ad about Prop 26, 27 telling you something. So Prop 26 would allow racetracks and tribal casinos the right to expand their gambling operations. And that could include sports betting. And that could include new games like roulette and dice games like craps. So if you vote yes on 26, it would expand that. If you vote no. You know, you're saying, no, we don't want those things at casinos. Prop 27 is different. This is sponsored by groups that want mobile sports betting on your phone. So you can go to apps like FanDuel and DraftKings, and you can bet on a football game, a baseball game. And what's fascinating about Prop 27 to me, Vicky, is it's the first time that the Democratic Party in California is divided, but also the Republicans and the Democrats are sort of united, right? So the California Democratic Party and the California Republican Party are both no on Prop 27. And then the most powerful people at the California legislature, right? Tony Atkins, Anthony Rendon, the speaker, the pro tem, they are no. The governor, he's sitting this out. But then you have Democrats like Libby Schaaf, the mayor of Oakland, mm-hmm. right? Or Daryl Steinberg, the mayor of Sacramento. They are yes, because there is a tax involved. So if we say yes on 27 and we allow mobile sports betting in California and private, you know, tech companies like FanDuel, DraftKings to do it, 10% of that tax would go towards homelessness, in theory. Now, it's unclear how much of that money would actually land in city coffers to address issues like homelessness and mental health crisis on our streets. But that's why we're seeing this rift between state Democrat leaders, local leaders like the mayor of Sacramento, the mayor of Oakland, and that, you know, unifying opposition from the California Democratic Party and the California Republican Party. So really interesting, super complicated. I'm going to rely on our voter guide even to figure it out, you know, and check my blind spots on that one.
Kind of a rarity in California, actually.
It is.
It's an anomaly situation. This is just a piece of it, the voter guide here at Cap Radio. I mean, we're really like full steam ahead now, 4 weeks until the election.
4 weeks to the day.
I know, to the day. So, Nick, thanks for an update on the voter guide. It is now live on Cap Radio's homepage. The first thing you see when you go to capradio.org. Nick Miller is managing editor of news at Cap Radio. Thanks, Nick.
Anytime.
All right. You're listening to Insight here on Cap Radio. Now we want to welcome Kim Alexander with the California Voter Foundation, a nonprofit, nonpartisan organization working to make voting more accessible to residents of California. Welcome back to Insight, Kim.
Hi, Vicki. Great to be here with you.
Let's get the housekeeping stuff out of the way because okay. residents will start receiving their ballots in the mail this week. What's the first thing people should know and what they should do with them?
Well, the first thing voters should do is open their ballot and look at it. Don't just set it aside and forget about where you put it.
With the mail?
Everybody in the state is being mailed a ballot if you're registered to vote. And those are arriving in the mail this week. So you can also sign up for ballot tracking if you want to pay attention to where your ballot is. And once you fill it out and send it back, you can track that it was received and it is going to be counted.
What if you aren't registered and you want to register to vote?
There's plenty of time to do that. In fact, you can register to vote in California all the way up until Election Day at voting sites in California. We have something called conditional same-day registration. If you do that, you need to take a little extra time. It's better to get registered now because you can get your ballot materials in the mail before the election, get your voter guides, get your ballot itself, and get all your voting site information where you can go and vote and return your ballot or vote in person. And so you want to register as soon as possible. You can do that online at the Secretary of State's website. And we have on our website at calvoter.org our California Online Voter Guide, and you can find links to register your ballot or sign up, register to vote or sign up for ballot tracking on our website.
Yeah, and we have a link to your voter guide on our Insight page as well.
Right.
You know, given that, you know, your nonprofit works to make voting more accessible to residents, what conversations are you having about potentially the challenges or some confusion when it comes to redistricting and how that may impact voting?
Oh, gosh, there are a lot of challenges this election. I mean, redistricting is one of them. You know, the constant drumbeat coming from some quarters about election fraud that's unsubstantiated is another challenge that we have. And then the third is just the length and complexity of this ballot, which is not new in California. But, you know, your prior segment, your voter guide itself is a great resource to help people wade through that. The challenge I hear from some people is they're worried that their vote's not going to count. They're worried about making the wrong choice, you know, not getting as informed as they could have been before they voted, then making a decision on a ballot measure, and then finding out later that they wish they had chosen otherwise. And so I always urge people to, of course, do all your homework if you can and take that time to make informed choices about everything on the ballot. But honestly, Vicki, I have 32 choices on my ballot. That's a lot of decisions to make. And it's hard. And so, you know, if you're not sure how you want to vote on something, it's okay to skip that contest and go on to the next one.
Yeah, that's a great piece of advice. I mean, my mailbox is just filled with political ads, materials, not to mention, you know, when we turn the TV on, I was just talking to Nick Miller about that. You're a big proponent of reading the fine print when it comes to these ads and materials that show up. Can you give us a few examples of what to watch out for?
Yeah, we're really lucky in California because although we do have, you know, some of us, not everybody has this deluge of mail that we get
from campaigns. Yeah, that's an important distinction, yes.
Yeah, some people don't get any mail. And so, you know, if you're getting lots of mail, you're in the category of likely voter. The campaigns are all courting you and keeping you informed. Other people don't hear much at all from the campaign. So, but everybody's seeing these ads on TV. And at the bottom of every ad, there is a requirement under state law that you have to disclose the top two donors of to the committee that paid for the ad. Now, sometimes you have to use your, you know, your remote control to put it in slow-mo and slow it down enough to actually be able to read it. But the disclosure is there. And there's also a lot of disclosure, thanks to California state law, of who the top donors are on all the ballot propositions. You can find that on our website. That data is compiled by the Fair Political Practices Commission. And it's a great shortcut to help people make informed choices. I mean, one thing I always like to encourage people to think about as they vote, particularly on ballot measures, like you were just talking about Measure O and how complicated it is, and you know, some of the other endorsements on Proposition 26 and 27. Endorsements can be a really great shortcut. You know, if you don't think you have the time to acquire encyclopedic knowledge about every ballot measure, every state and local measure before you, you can take cues from organizations that you trust or organizations you don't like and vote opposite of what they suggest. There's a lot of great shortcuts like that. And then following the money is one that we always recommend voters take the time to research who's funding the campaigns. And, you know, the site that I really rely on a lot, and we actually have embedded into our homepage, is Voters Edge from the League of Women Voters and MapLight. This is a nonprofit site, and they distill all that information for you in one place. And you can create a customized personal voter guide that just shows your contests on the ballot, your candidates, your ballot choices based on your residential address. And I used that the other day to go through, you know, my ballot choices and figure out that I had 32 contests on my ballot. So it's a great tool to use and to encourage other people to use too.
A big issue that has been growing comes down to, you know, election workers. I mean, you mentioned previously that about a third of county registrars have left their positions or have decided not to run again for office. We have had some of them, one in particular in Shasta County, who did choose to run again. But just talking about the challenges of dealing with misinformation, people who don't trust the electoral process anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, can you really unpack what they've been facing in recent years and why it's just so troubling overall to the voting process?
Yes, we have seen this rise in threats and harassment of election officials at the state and local level throughout the country and here in California. Everybody's being impacted. Part of this is coming out of the big lie campaign that's being waged by some, continues to be waged by some, including the former president, that the election was stolen. And it's not true. So people have, you know, gone blue in the face trying to explain to people why it's not true, pointing to the recounts, the numerous recounts that were done. Thank goodness we had 95% of the ballots cast on paper in 2020, which was a reform the California Voter Foundation and other California election security advocates pushed for 20 years ago to get rid of paperless electronic voting, because now we have transparent, verifiable ballots that people can count, recount. They're durable. They take up space. So it, you know, 20 years ago, I would have been concerned too, alongside everybody else, about how we can verify the vote. But we do have great election security measures in California, really strong testing and certification requirements, paper ballots required, post-election audits required. And so, you know, I think we've done a great job actually in California to secure the vote. Unfortunately, people are hearing information that's misleading them into thinking otherwise. And so a lot of election officials are frustrated by this. Many are fighting back. Some are choosing to leave. One thing I've noticed is that those who are retiring from these positions don't go very far. You know, the election bug, I think, has more staying power than COVID, because once you get involved in elections, it's hard to walk away from it. But it has taken a toll. And we helped get a new law passed this year with the Brennan Center and Senator Josh Newman, SB 1131, that allows election officials to keep their personal information private, as well as election workers, to prevent them from potential doxing or people threatening them at their homes. So that law was signed into law by Governor Newsom just 2 weeks ago, and it has an urgency clause, and it's in effect now.
Oh, okay. So it doesn't take effect in the new year. It actually applies to this general election, this midterm.
Yeah, we made sure it had an urgency clause, which took more votes to get it passed, but I'm pleased to say we were able to get the two-thirds vote needed to get it in place now. It also changes the law to now prohibit counties from publishing the names of poll workers, which used to be common practice under state law, and we've amended that law so that poll worker party affiliation and language availability is made publicly available, but the names of poll workers is no longer public.
Well, Kim, thank you so much for joining us. I am sure I will be seeing your face again soon. We are in the thick of election coverage.
Yeah, thanks for having me, and come to calvoter.org when you are looking for reliable election information. We're happy to help you out there.
Kim Alexander is with the California Voter Foundation. Still ahead, Sacramento may be saying goodbye to Aftershock, but another music festival will be coming back this weekend, Golden Sky. We'll take a deeper look at how the capital city is carving its way into the festival shuffle. You're listening to Insight here on Cap Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. We're back in just a moment. We'll be right back.